I've always bragged, and this is a positive brag. I've been bragging for years that for one of my wives of 17 years and two more months, inshallah, never have I pronounced divorce. 17 years, I've never ever pronounced divorce and never even thought about it. I mean, as for other occasions, yeah. Is that it? Can we begin the, you got a new tape in there? No, because we have the Adab al-Mufrad, and I'm trying to show my commitment. I'm trying to show everybody that I'm committed to this effort. Is there any more questions about this talaq? Naam. So we can stretch the tape. Yeah, this is from the ulama. The ulama have given us what they have extracted, that divorce, that marriage and divorce and revocation is in the hands of the man, from the verses of the Quran and the authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For instance, the man is the one who is the suitor, and the woman is the one who is the suited, if that's a word. He's the one that is pursuing, and I know there's at least one person in this message right now that likes that word. He's the one who pursues the woman. He is the one who offers himself to the woman. That's the contract of marriage, offer and acceptance. Because he's the one who has to pay the dowry and does the maintenance and the provision and all these other things, the marriage is in his hands. This is one of the ways the scholars of Islam, derive it. As for the divorce, the divorce is clear from the verses of Quran, that it's in his hands, because Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءُ If you divorce, when you divorce the women, you never ever seen the Quran where Allah says, O women, O believing women, when you divorce the men. So it's clear that the divorce is in the hands of the men. And as for the ruj'a, Allah says, وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ That the husband have more right to the revocation than them. So it's clear. A woman can request divorce, but it's still in the hands of a man. Any circumstance. She just tells him, I want you to divorce me. But she still can't get it until he says, I divorce you. Of course, she should have a good reason. Yeah, of course. No, of course. You don't need any proof that if a man is a 6-degree black belt in karate or he's Mike Tyson and he punches his wife that she can't get a divorce. That's ridiculous. What kind of verse of Quran you need for that? The man is brutal. He's brutalizing the woman. We don't need any proof that she can't get out of the marriage. The issue is how does she get out? Still in the hands of the man. Divorce is still in the hands of the man, as opposed to khula'. Khula is not a divorce. It's an annulment. She's ransoming herself. She pays back the dowry to get out of the marriage. It's not a divorce, though. It's an annulment. And, of course, she still should have a valid reason. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَيُمْ رَأَةٍ سَأَلَتْ أَتْطَلَاقَ مِنْ زَوْجِهَا بِغَيْرِ بَأْسٍ فَحَرَامٌ عَلَيْهَا رَائِحَةُ الْجَنَّةِ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Any woman that asks, requests of her husband divorce بغير بأس, without a عذر شرعي, without a valid excuse, then حرام عليها رائحة الجنة, then the smell of Jannah, the fragrance of Jannah is haram for her. So every sister that asks for khulat should remember that. Are you really doing it for a valid reason, sister? Are you really asking him to divorce you for a valid reason? Because Jannah is serious. You only get one chance for Jannah. Right? Naam. And that hadith is extracted by Abu Dawood and others. Naam. Go ahead, I'm listening. It has to be a valid Islamic reason. Yes. Yeah, the brother is saying, for the sisters that can't hear, he's using the story of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik. For those sisters or brothers who may not know the story, he's using this as asking, can this be an example of divorcing it, of a man telling his son to divorce his wife? The story of Ibrahim is a very long, long, beautiful hadith. And all the hadiths of the Prophet are beautiful, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's in al-Bukhari, it's the story of Hajar, when she was pregnant, and Sarah, her co-wife, was jealous, as some women get. Not all women, some women. Something wrong, brothers? No, all women don't get jealous when a man takes another wife. Really, they don't. So when she got jealous, she wrapped her girdle around herself, Hajar, the mother of Ismail, to cover up her tracks. She let it drag to cover up her tracks. And the story goes on, because she didn't want Sarah to see her pregnant. Cover up her tracks means she didn't want to let her know that she was pregnant. She was the first woman to put on a girdle for that reason. Right? Of course, ladies today put on girdles for other reasons. But Hajar, she put it on for this reason. Alaykum salam. Okay. Okay, inshallah. I'll try it. Allah, you better see. So the story goes on, and we want to cut the rest of the part out and go straight to the aspect that the brother's mentioning. One day, after Ismail became a man, his father Ibrahim came to the house and asked his wife, and his wife was a woman who he had taken into marriage from the tribe of Jurhum. The tribe of Jurhum was people from Yemen by way of Ethiopia. And when he came to the house, he came to the door, and he gave her the salams, and she returned the salams, and he said, "Is your husband home?" She said, "No, he's out getting the livelihood for us. He's out getting the provisions for the family." He said, "How is your condition?" And at that time, their condition was not a good situation. She says, "We're not doing good at all. We're doing real bad. We're in shidda wa sharr and mashaqqa. We're doing real bad. Our situation is bad." And so he said, "What do you have to eat?" She said, "We don't have anything. You know, we just have, you know, this, right." I mean, she complained. Or she wasn't pleased with the situation. So he said, "When your husband returns, tell him I said to change the gate of the threshold to his house." So when Ismail came back, being a prophet, he said he sensed that something had happened, that somebody visited her. And he said, "Did you have a visitor today?" She said, "Naam." He said, "Who was it?" She said, "Sheikh Fulan Fulan so-and-so, an old man." That's the way she described Ibrahim, an old man. He said, "What did he ask you?" She said, he asked me, "What is our condition?" And I told him what was our condition, that we were living in shidda and mashaqqa. We were living in extreme dire straits and a very serious condition. He said, "What did he tell you? Did he advise you anything?" She said, "Yes." He said, "He told me to tell you to change the gate of the threshold of your house." He said, "That was my father, and he has told me to divorce you. Go back to your family." All right? So the brother is using this as an example. And this is an excellent point to make. The only exception is to this point is that this is the Sharia of Ibrahim. And we would not be able to use this mutlaqan, unrestrictedly, for our Sharia, which is the Sharia of Abu Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? We would not be able to use his Sharia or anybody else's Sharia, because Muhammad's Sharia sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to correct and supersede all other Sharia. Alright? That's number one. Number two, the example that we have in this hadith, if we look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the example of if the hadith is authentic of Umar radiallahu anhu telling his son to divorce, or Abu Bakr, I can't remember if it was Abu Bakr or Umar, telling his son to divorce his wife and then not doing it, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being told by either Abu Bakr or Umar, my memory doesn't serve me correctly, and then him going back to tell him that to obey your father, bring him to me. And when he brought him to him, he said, obey your father and to divorce her, because he didn't want to divorce her even when his father told him to. This is a clear indication, which is different from Ibrahim's situation, that the son has the right to reject. You see? Then when the companion, Abu Bakr Umar, which I don't remember, told the Prophet the reasons why, once again this shows a difference between Ibrahim's situation and Ismail's and Abu Bakr Umar's situation, where he divorced his wife because he had a litigator, a judge, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where in Ibrahim's time there was no judge, and Ismail was a prophet also. You see, the situations are different. You have a prophet telling another prophet to divorce his wife, whereas you have Abu Bakr or Umar, who are not prophets, telling the companion, his son, another companion, to divorce his wife. And Allah knows best. Allah knows best. Yes, I read it. Yeah, in their Sharia, they took the tawakkul. It had not more weight than we have today. But there are things that obviously you could do when a person wasn't satisfied with the decree of Allah like that. Plus, she wasn't respectful. She wasn't respectful because she said an old man. Whereas the second wife from the same tribe praised him and said he was handsome. That Ibrahim was handsome. You see? So, Allah knows best. Is that it? Any questions from the sisters? The sisters can write them, send them up, inshallah. And if not, we can begin the next topic. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Allah yabarak fiki. حياك الله آمين وإياكم. Is that it, brothers? So we can begin the next class, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.